Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So tonight I'm going to be sharing with you from the Bible. Amen. And we'll see what God wants to do tonight. You know, one of the most amazing things about the Old Testament is that the Old Testament is so full of just richness. You know, the Bible refers, you know, you've heard the saying that, you know, here's the Ancient of Days. And so it's, you know, God was in the beginning and everything was formed out of Him. And I think sometimes if we stop for a moment and really just think about that, just how great He is, how mighty He is, how awesome He is. And throughout the Bible, we see Him reveal Himself to man. What's amazing about the Bible is we get to see God reveal Himself in ways that describe the way that He is towards us. Specifically in the Old Testament. You know, I'll give you a few names just as examples tonight. Some of my favorites, there's so many. But we talk about God as El Elyon, which means God Most High. El Shaddai, which speaks of Him as Almighty God, or God Almighty. That's one of my absolute favorites. Whenever I'm afraid, that's the one that I go to, El Shaddai. You know, the word Adonai, which really speaks of Lord, is the Lord or Master of all things. And then obviously, in Scripture, we see Adonai Nissi, which is the Lord, my banner. Yahweh, you know, Yahweh, or many people speak in the English as Jehovah. You know, we know that the Hebrew people did not want to even try to say His name just because of how powerful and mighty His name was. When we talk about the fear of the Lord, that's an example of what that really is. It's understanding the magnitude of just how awesome and how powerful and how mighty He is. And yes, He can smite you in a second, but He doesn't do that because He loves you. Amen. But He could if He really wanted to. You know, we talk about Yahweh Saba, or Jehovah Saba, which is the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Jehovah Mkadesh, which is the Lord who sanctifies. Jehovah Tsuri, which is the Lord my rock. Jehovah Rapha, which is really one of my ultimate favorites, which to me describes God the way He's been from right when Adam and Eve fell, which is speaking of the Lord our healer, but also describes a restorer, because the word healer, or the word Rapha actually, or Rapha actually, basically, if you look at the root and you compare both the New and the Old Testament, where that word would be assumed to be used in the same place, there's no question that it must refer to restoration more than healing, because you can't heal a river, but yet a river was used, the word Rapha was used there to heal a river, so it must be to restore, or to heal a home that was full of mildew and mold. The Lord healed that home. Well, no, He didn't heal it, He restored it. So it describes God as a restorer. And so God has always been in the business of restoring us, making us whole. Amen. And then, of course, Jehovah Rui, which is the Lord is my shepherd. And so we see in the Old Testament specifically how God is revealed to us in all these different ways. And if you read the stories where these names come up for the first time, you know, they describe how God is. And when people get a revelation of what the Lord represents in that moment, and then they speak and refer to Him this way, it's very, very powerful. We see the goodness of God and the power of God manifest in the Old Testament. But tonight I want to talk to you about something a little bit different. Because in the New Testament, we see God in a different way. Let's go to John 17, verse number 5. John 17. Verse number 5. Now keep in mind, prophets revealed Him, kings revealed Him, great servants of old would reveal God in these specific ways through His names and things that He had done. Is that okay? Okay. I'll go sit down and answer myself. Okay, thank you for whoever was bold in the back there. Okay. John 17, verse number 5. Watch this. And now, O Father, this is Jesus speaking, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name. Let's stop there. Jesus is telling us that he has manifested God's name to us. Well, how did he manifest his name? And I don't know about you, but I think the name that he will reveal God to us as is probably important, right? Okay, you are allowed to respond. Come on, you guys have been with me for so long, some of you, you know? If you don't, I just say amen. Okay? So he says, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They are yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known all things which you have given me are from you. So I want you to see that he talks about the name that has been manifested to him. And then he says that he taught them this name. Now, I'm going to just make it easy for you and tell you what he revealed. He revealed the name of God to his disciples, which was the name Father. The name Father. How do we know that? Because we can see the Father in the Son. So Jesus taught us what it was like. Because it says there, I have manifested your name. In other words, not only is he saying that I've physically taught it to you, but I've manifested and I've taught you what manifest means is to reveal, and to reveal that name in a manifest, almost tangible way. So how could Jesus have done this? How could he have manifested the Father to the disciples? Well, that's pretty easy to answer. By being a son. By being a son. So Jesus was living as a son and talking to the Father as a son. And so he would show and teach his disciples for the first time. Now you've got to grasp this, because the Old Testament saints, David and all of them, did not speak to God as Father. They spoke to God with the most reverence. Most of the time they would speak to him as Hashem or Adonai. That's how they would most of the time refer to God, because they wouldn't dare say his name. Yeah, I even didn't want to say it there, just out of, you know. But that's how it was. So they would refer to him as Lord. Does that make sense? And so now Jesus is coming and he's revealing God as a Father by operating as a son and talking to him as Father all the time. This is really powerful. That's the name that he wanted to teach them. He manifested and taught the name Father to his disciples. Let's go to Luke 11, verse number 1. I want to show you. If you say, well, how do I know that? Well, let me show you how he taught his disciples to pray. Now, it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, now watch, say this, Our Father, our Father. He didn't say to my Father. He said to him, say our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. But we can see that the way Jesus teaches his disciples right from the very beginning of this prayer. In other words, when you go to him, when you go to God, because of who I am and what I'm going to do, I want you to go to him in this manner. I want you to approach him like I approach him. This is so powerful. Because the prophets of old, the saints of old, they couldn't do this because they didn't know God as a father. They only knew him as El Shaddai. They only knew him as El Elyon. They only knew him as the Lord of hosts. They only knew him as Jehovah Jireh. They only knew him in a way that he was basically seen to needs. Whereas Jesus was revealing God as a person. This is so powerful. This is so powerful. There is no name that has been given to God that is more personal, that is more intimate, and what is available to you as a Christian in this New Testament era that we live in, that you have an ability to go to God as your Father. This is so powerful. This is so powerful. Because we can go, you know, it's like, you know, you have someone that provides for you, a boss or an employer, or you have people in your life that are kind to you, or they help you, or they assist you. And, you know, you can almost try, you can find places in your life that you could put God in all these different positions of, you know, of how people provide for your needs. But no one can satisfy the need that we have for a father. Father. Matthew 11, verse 27. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. Now watch. And the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. You see, you can know God, or you can know about God, but to know God as a father is something that has to be revealed to you. You can't really even learn about this. This is something that has to be caught. This is something that has to be given to you. And the only one that can teach you what God is like as a father is the Son. Now, we're very fortunate that we can read a book about how Jesus was. Whereas in those days, Jesus would play out, he would live, he would demonstrate how the Father was in everything that he did. Most people, and you can see it so clearly, when Jesus would go to the Pharisees and they would talk about things, and they would refer to Jesus as a blasphemer and as an offense. Because the way that Jesus was he was full of love and compassion and mercy, and it wasn't anything that they expected. They were expecting, like I said, the one who will smite. They were expecting someone who was going to be an army general that was going to come in with a military force and destroy the works of Caesar, and, you know, and the Roman Empire would be utterly destroyed by this person. Instead, they ended up getting a Messiah that was completely unexpected. But also understand that at the same time, that we must realize that Jesus was more than just a Messiah, because the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, don't believe that the Messiah will be the Son of God. So they couldn't relate. They couldn't relate. But people who Jesus chose to reveal himself to would begin to see a love. You must try and think about it. The way that people would fall down before him, the way that people would fall down and worship him, they realized that there was something different, that there was something special about this individual who was Jesus that stood before them, who was able to reveal the true heart of God. You see, the Bible talks about the anointing that breaks the yoke. We know that Jesus carried the anointing. Obviously, he was the anointed one. And when he came and he would walk around, he had this presence about him, but it was more than just the presence. He was literally God in the flesh. He could demonstrate the very heart, the very nature, the very essence and love of God, the way that he was. And I love that he would sometimes rebuke. Because a good father will rebuke. A good father will be merciful. A good father will be forgiving. A good father will be encouraging. Are you with me? But he also got out his whip every now and then. Are you with me, guys? Think about why Jesus got upset. He got upset because they had turned the house of prayer into a den of thieves. The Bible tells us that the house of the Lord shall forever be a house of prayer. And the outer courts where the Gentiles were supposed to go and pray had been turned into a marketplace. So in other words, they were no longer able to go to that area where they were allowed to pray because it had been turned into a marketplace. And Jesus came to save the world. Pretty awesome, right? But he's the one who reveals the Father to us. I've got to get used to this new mic. Now watch. Because this is so good. So we must understand that Jesus is the one who reveals the Father to us. And then in verse 28, he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What was the yoke that Jesus bore? He bore the yoke of a son. He was a son. So he's saying to you, I want you to take what I have and carry that. In other words, when you find out that you are actually a son and a daughter, a child of God, the yoke and burden of that comes on you, you will realize that it's only by grace and it's only by his strength. And you will realize that you can actually do this. You can do this thing. Are you with me? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn what? Learn how to be a son. Learn how to be a child of God. Are you with me, guys? And when you learn how to do that, I will give you rest for your soul. You will be able to overcome every obstacle. Never mind all the other things that we see, how awesome our God is. But when you watch Jesus, you watch the way he operates, you watch the way he finds his identity, you will see that out of his identity, he always operates. I do nothing unless I see the Father do it. Are you with me? Jesus' life was completely to serve the Father, and he revealed the Father to us just because of that. So he's saying, if I reveal the Father to you, you will enter into rest. Now, I want to show you just two things. There's so many things. I'm not going to get into all of this tonight. I want to just specifically focus on these two things because I think it's so important. The first thing tonight that most of you probably know this, but I want you to really just kind of think a little deeper tonight. One of the things we find from a father or from the father is we find identity. Are you guys okay this evening? You don't need to lay hands on someone or something. We find identity. Is that okay? Now watch. You see, let's go to Luke 3, verse 21. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And when he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, watch, you are my beloved son. What was God doing? He was affirming the identity of his son. What happened to Jesus after this episode? His ministry was birthed. You will never find out what your purpose is if you don't know who you are. You will never be able to fulfill everything God has for you if you don't have identity. You see, in life, so many people don't know what it's like to have a good father. You know, in fact, this generation has been referred to as Generation X, a generation that is fatherless. And one of the things that fathers, their main responsibility is to create identity for their family. You know, when a child does something, you say, "Son, I'm proud of you. Daughter, I'm," you know, well, I don't say daughter. Awesome one, you know, the kids today. You know, you say to them, "I'm proud of you. Well done. You know, you're so awesome. I'm so proud of you. You know, thank you for being so good." You affirm them. You tell them how much you love them. That's what a father does, and that's what the father does to you. I want you to know that he affirms you. You see, when you come into the kingdom of God, when you give your life to him, you actually become a son and daughter of God. The problem is, I can talk about it, but you've got to catch it. It has to become a revelation to you that God is not just Adonai, that he's not just Jehovah Jireh. You've got to understand that he actually is also your father, and he is a good father. He is a loving father, and the Bible is clear, very, very clear, that he is our father. That's why you'll notice, if you watch me when I pray, that's how I pray. I speak to him as father. I don't even start anymore. When I used to pray when I was younger, I would always start by saying, "Dear Father." Now it's like, you know, I just talk to him all the time because we're in conversation all the time. So it's just, "Well, Father, you know," or "Father, you know," or I just, how I am. I just do that. I just talk to him all the time as a father. I see him as a father. I see him as a provider. I see him as the one who gives me strength. I see him as the one who loves me. I see him as the one who encourages me. I see him as my protector. I see him as my, as everything I need. That's how I see him. He's my father. He's a good father. Listen, when I make a mistake, he's there to pick me up. Sometimes I might get disciplined, but he'll be right there when I come back to him, and with open arms of love and compassion and mercy, because he's a good father. He's an awesome father. In fact, there is no father like our Father in heaven. There is no father besides our Father in heaven. Oh, we worship you this evening in this place, Father, because you are great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I've looked at the scripture 100 times. And I've never really focused on the next part of it. Who am I? Why am I here? Well, first of all, you need to know that you are his son and his daughter. Now watch this. In whom I am well pleased. He will always affirm you. Let me give you some advice that I'm giving myself. Don't worry about what anybody thinks or says. You only need to please one person, and that's your Father in heaven. Because ultimately, you see, let's go to John 8, verse 29, real quick. "And he who sent me," this is Jesus, "is with me. The Father has not left me alone." Now watch. "I always do those things that please him." In other words, Jesus' mission was not to be the most anointed. His mission was not to be the greatest. His mission was to please the Father. Why? Because he knew him. Because he knew how he was. Can you imagine when Jesus came up out of the water and the Father said to him, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased"? Jesus was, "All right, I'm ready. I'm ready, Father. I'm ready to go and show them that I am your Son, and I look just like you, and I sound just like you, and I love just like you, and I speak just like you, and I act just like you, and I do just like you do." And that's exactly what he did. Every miracle, every breakthrough, every healing, every deliverance, every broken life that was restored was the Father working through him. He was revealing who the Father was. So many of us struggle to believe that we ever amount to anything. So many of us never feel like we're good enough. so many of us always constantly hold on to our rejections, to our hurts, to our depression. The Lord said to me yesterday that there are many people right now, even in our church, that are suffering from hopelessness. They feel hopeless. They feel like there's no answer because they can't see politically that things are going the way they expected. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Do you think what's going on is surprising God? Just because it doesn't suit your narrative? Just because it doesn't suit your way? When do you think God took a vacation from sitting on the throne? Listen, He's very much right there. And let me tell you something. He was on the throne before the election. He was your Father before the election. And He's your Father now after the election. And whatever will come, will come. And whatever happens, we're going to continue to run our race. And we're going to serve Him. And we're going to follow Him. And our desire as a church here at Oceans Unite Christian Center will be to please Him. He's the only one whose affirmation I need. I only need a like from heaven. I only want a confirmation from heaven. He's the only one. He's the only one. Father, tonight in this place, You are our heart's desire. I thank You, Father, that the prophets revealed who You were in so many awesome ways. But no one revealed You, Lord, the way that Jesus revealed You. For Jesus came and He walked among us. God came and walked among us. And He showed us love. And He showed us mercy. Oh, He showed us power. He showed us all these things. But Father, the greatest gift He showed us was that we can lift our hands. We can lift our voice. And we can cry out, Abba Father, because You are our Father. You are our strength. You are our refuge. You are our strong tower. Father, You are there for us when no one else is. Lord, You are there for us when we feel like everything is over. You will never leave us nor forsake us. I give You thanks this evening in the name that is above every name, that every single person in this place will know You. They will know You as their Father. Oh, we worship You. We worship You tonight, Lord. We honor You tonight in this place. We honor You tonight in this place. We honor You tonight in this place. I want to say something quickly before we carry on. You guys just keep doing what you're doing. Romans 8:15 says this. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba Father. Listen, take His yoke. You don't have to fear. Well, what am I supposed to do, Alex? Pastor Alex, what am I supposed to do? How am I going to find out what I'm supposed to do? Go to the Father. Begin to go to Him and approach Him as your Father. It doesn't matter what your earthly father said. If he was a bad father, it doesn't matter. You are born again. You have a new daddy. Is that okay? And He loves you. And He affirms you. And you will amount to something. And you will do something amazing. And He will be proud of you. And He'll talk to the angels about you. He'll talk to the Son about you. He'll look at you and be pleased with you. Come on, somebody. You may not want to believe it, but I believe it. Oh, I believe it. And I need it with all of my heart because that's where my strength comes from. That's where my peace comes from. I don't have to talk to God like He's so far away. We have a spirit living in us that can give you everything you need if you approach God as your Father. I remember there was a time not too long ago where I would pray and I would be so conscious of speaking to the Father, speaking to Jesus, speaking to the Holy Spirit, because they're all important, right? But I would find myself over the years as I begin to pray, and I always speak to the Father because that's just I think that's how I see God, as a father. But even when I'm talking to the Holy Spirit, I'll switch to Father. And you know what's so awesome about it? I know He doesn't mind. He doesn't mind. Because it's the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit that was in the beginning. It's the same Spirit that was in Jesus that lives in you. But he wants to reveal Himself to you tonight as your Father. As your Father. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Some people may not know what that looks like because they've never had a father. Well, the Bible tells us clearly, if you don't know what that looks like, there's only one person that can show you what that looks like. The Bible tells us that only the Son can reveal the Father to you. Have a look at the life of Jesus. Have a look how the Father heard Him when He prayed. Have a look how the Father was there for Him and was always with Him. The Father walked Him through everything. The Father affirmed Him by telling Him that He was beloved and that He was pleased with Him. Look at the relationship that the Son had with the Father. If you want to know what a father's supposed to be like, just look at Jesus. Tonight, I want you in your chair to ask Him. To ask Him, say, Lord Jesus, open my eyes so that I can see the Father, so that I can know the Father. Reveal the love of the Father to me. Your identity is in Him. Your strength, who you are, your reputation is in Him. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. If your earthly father let you down, forgive him now. He probably had a bad father himself. Let it go now. Release him and say, thank you, Abba Father, that you are my God and you will never let me down. You will always be right by my side. Just speak to the Lord right now, there where you are. Cry out to Him and say, Abba Father, or just Father, whatever you want to do, however you speak to Him. But approach Him tonight as your Father, as your heavenly Father, like Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. This is our desire, Lord. This is our desire, that your will would be done. Have your way in every one of our lives, Lord. But Father, it's my desire as your servant in this place, Father, just to show and share just a little bit of what I've experienced. And I know I've only experienced a little bit, Father. But I'm so grateful for every encounter. I'm so grateful for every time you have spoken to me. I'm so grateful for every time your Spirit has filled me. I'm so grateful, Father. And all I ask, Lord, is that you will help me. Help me to show them, to teach them how much you love them. Help me, Lord, to teach them and show them how good you are, how merciful you are, how wonderful you are. Because when I say it, I mean it. That there is none like you, Lord. There is none like you. Thank you, Jesus. No more rejection. No more fear. No more depression. It is not your portion. You are a child of the King of the world. And you are His beloved. You are His beloved tonight in this place. Just receive it now. Just receive it now. Maybe your father wasn't a hugger. Maybe he never told you that he loves you. Well, I want you to know that your heavenly Father, he loves you. He loves you. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for you because he loves you. Because he loves you so much. Just receive that right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for everything, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We are so grateful to you. So grateful for your presence. So grateful that you are with us tonight in this place. I pray, Lord, that no one will leave here the same way, but they will know tonight. They will know you as their Father. And so I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with everyone tonight as they leave this place. Father, I know that the work that you do in us is deep on the inside. So I pray, Lord, that the word that has gone out tonight will be a seed in their hearts that will grow into an everlasting relationship with you as their Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus, that you go to make a place for us, to prepare a place for us. That's our final destination, to be with you. So we honor you and thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.